Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be looking at what's been going on after the election and specifically how the Democratic Party is handling its finances, its staff, and kind of what's been going on after they, you know, came up short.
Absolutely.
So you've given us a couple articles to look at. We've got one from Trending Politics on the right, and then we have one from the Daily Mail leaning left.
Yep.
And it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see how these two sources frame this kind of developing story.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how each side kind of presents this information.
Yeah.
You know, both articles are highlighting, you know, these DNC staff layoffs. But the Daily Mail is reporting it as 2/3 of their workforce being let go.
2/3.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. It's a massive number of people.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you know, finding themselves out of work.
Right. And in both articles, too, what's really, I think, grabbing a lot of attention is the lack of severance pay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the Daily Mail quotes the DNC union saying they're absolutely furious about it and believe their colleagues have been treated very poorly.
Yeah.
They're not really mincing words.
Right. Right. It seems like Trending Politics is taking a slightly different approach.
Okay.
They're really emphasizing how sudden these layoffs were. They're even claiming that some staffers received less than 24 hours notice.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you think about the context here, you know, these staffers dedicated themselves to, you know, a really grueling campaign cycle.
Right.
Only to be let go, you know, with almost no warning and no financial cushion.
Right.
It definitely raises some questions about how the DNC is valuing its workforce.
Yeah, for sure. And then to add fuel to the fire, both sources mentioned that the DNC union has even launched a GoFundMe.
Oh, wow.
To support the laid off staff.
Yeah. And this is where I think the narratives really start to diverge. Trending Politics is focusing on the, you know, relatively small amount raised.
Yeah.
Just $16,000 out of a $25,000 goal.
Oh, wow.
They even include an observation from Fox News's Peter Doocy suggesting that this might signal a lack of donor interest in supporting these former staffers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail, on the other hand, is highlighting the social media outrage that's been brewing around this whole situation.
Okay.
Some are even sarcastically suggesting that celebrities who campaigned for the Democratic ticket should be the ones contributing to this GoFundMe.
Oh, wow. So it's almost a microcosm of this larger societal debate about wealth and who's responsible for supporting those, you know, facing financial hardship.
Right.
Are celebrities who lend their name and influence to a campaign obligated to then help in a situation like this?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question.
Very much so.
Yeah, definitely food for thought.
Yeah.
So let's get down to, you know, brass tacks here.
Yeah.
The finances.
Yeah.
Both articles are connecting these layoffs directly to, you know, the financial strain on the DNC after the election.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Trending Politics is going all in on this angle.
Okay.
They're really emphasizing the DNC's overall debt, reporting it to be upwards of $20 million.
Wow.
They even mentioned Tim Walz, the DNC chair, having to reach out to wealthy donors for help.
Yeah.
And they don't stop there either.
Oh, really?
They go into quite a bit of detail about campaign spending, specifically how $1 billion was spent in just 107 days.
Wow.
They even cite specific examples like expensive consultants.
Yeah.
And get this, $1 million paid to Oprah Winfrey for a single appearance with the candidate.
That's a staggering amount of money.
Yeah.
For such a short period.
Right.
Yeah, you start to wonder about the strategic allocation of those resources.
Right.
Especially in light of, you know, these financial struggles that followed.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Daily Mail's coverage of the financial situation is a little bit more focused.
Okay.
They zero in on the reported $20 million debt.
Specifically tied to the presidential campaign.
Gotcha.
They also mentioned the social media backlash, with many criticizing the candidate's decision to vacation in Hawaii.
Wow.
While former staff members are struggling.
Yeah, it's just a really stark contrast that plays into, you know, this public perception of a disconnect between, you know, those in power and the everyday struggles of ordinary people.
Right.
The optics of that situation definitely didn't help.
No, not at all. So how are the DNC and the union responding to all of this scrutiny and pressure?
Well, Trending Politics is mentioning Tim Walz trying to secure funds from these wealthy donors and brings up these concerns about a lack of accountability from Fox News.
Yeah.
They seem to be implying that the DNC isn't really taking ownership of the situation.
Okay, okay. The Daily Mail, however, is presenting a more measured view.
Okay.
They're including the DNC's official response to Fox News,
stating that these layoffs are standard practice after an election, and that they've fulfilled all their obligations as outlined in the collective bargaining agreement with the union.
It's interesting how they both frame that response, right?
Yeah.
Trending Politics is portraying it as deflecting blame,
right,
while the Daily Mail is presenting it as just simply following protocol.
Yeah.
Two very different spins on that same statement.
Exactly. And amidst all of this, both sources are emphasizing the union's commitment to, you know, fighting for that severance pay for those who have lost their jobs.
Yeah, the union's making it very clear that they're not backing down.
Yeah.
They're actively advocating for their members and bringing this, you know, perceived injustice to light. Mm. It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds.
Yeah.
Do you think the DNC will budge?
I don't know.
Or is this the start of, you know, a larger standoff between the party and its workforce?
It's really hard to say. I mean, this situation really underscores a deeper issue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The precarious position of campaign staff, essential during the campaign, but right, easily discarded after.
Yeah. It's a pattern we've seen repeat, you know, across both parties. Mm-hmm. And it raises some questions about the ethical responsibility parties have to the people who are powering their campaigns.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And, you know, looking back at the sources, it's fascinating how each one utilizes specific details to shape their narrative. For example, Trending Politics focuses on the DNC spending on what they call flashy podcast sets.
Okay.
And a bloated field staff.
Right.
It almost feels like they're trying to reinforce this certain stereotype of the Democratic Party being out of touch with fiscal reality.
Yeah, and they contrast that with this image of, you know, laid off staffers struggling to make ends meet,
right,
creating this very stark us versus them narrative.
Right.
They even include that quote from Fox News' Peter Ducey questioning whether the DNC chair Tim Walz will be held accountable.
Right.
It's a very deliberate way of framing the situation.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail, on the other hand, is centering their story on the human impact.
Go.
They're highlighting the DNC union's statement, describing themselves as heartbroken and furious with the party leadership.
Right.
It definitely evokes a stronger sense of empathy for the workers, you know, caught in this situation.
Yeah, and their emphasis on the union's GoFundMe campaign further reinforces the focus on the immediate needs of these laid off staffers.
Mm-hmm.
And by highlighting the social media backlash, specifically, you know, the criticism of the candidate's Hawaiian vacation.
Right.
They're tapping into that public sentiment of disconnect between the political elite and the everyday struggles of working people.
So it seems like both sources are carefully curating their narratives to resonate with their target audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Trending Politics seems to be appealing to those concerned with fiscal responsibility and government spending.
Yeah.
While the Daily Mail is aiming for those who prioritize labor rights and social justice issues.
Absolutely. It's a great example of how information can be framed to align with, you know, specific agendas and worldviews.
Right.
And it reminds us that no source is completely objective.
Right.
You know, we always need to be aware of potential biases.
Yeah.
And strive for that balanced understanding of complex situations.
It really makes you realize the importance of seeking out multiple perspectives.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to politically charged issues.
Couldn't agree more. By engaging with sources from across the political spectrum, you know, we can gain a more nuanced understanding of these multifaceted issues and avoid falling into echo chambers where only one viewpoint is reinforced.
Exactly. And thinking about the bigger picture here, what can we learn from this situation about the state of the Democratic Party? Is it just an isolated incident, or does it speak to larger issues within the party?
That's a great question, and it's tough to say for sure.
Yeah.
But this situation definitely highlights some internal challenges.
Yeah.
You know, the financial strain, the staff layoffs, the tension with the union.
Right.
These all kind of suggest a need for some serious reflection and perhaps even some restructuring within the party.
It's almost like a microcosm of the larger divisions we're seeing play out in American politics today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how the Democratic Party navigates this situation could have significant implications for their future.
Right.
They need to find a way to address these internal issues while also projecting unity and a clear vision to the public.
It makes you wonder what the long-term consequences of these types of situations might be for the political landscape as a whole.
Right.
Could this lead to further erosion of trust in political institutions?
It's definitely a possibility. You know, when people see a political party grappling with internal conflicts and, you know, accusations of financial mismanagement, it can kind of reinforce a sense of cynicism and disenfranchisement.
Yeah.
The perception that the system is rigged against the average person can lead to apathy and disengagement.
Right.
Which is ultimately detrimental to a healthy democracy.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. On the other hand, could this situation potentially be a catalyst for a positive change?
It could.
Could it lead to a push for greater transparency and accountability within political parties?
That's certainly a possibility as well.
Yeah.
You know, public pressure and scrutiny can sometimes force institutions to confront their shortcomings and make necessary changes.
Yeah.
The increased awareness of the precarious position of campaign staff, for example, could lead to discussions about establishing better protections and ethical guidelines for those working in the political sphere.
So it's a double-edged sword.
It is.
This situation has the potential to either fuel cynicism or inspire positive change. It really depends on how the parties involved choose to move forward.
Absolutely.
And while we've delved into, you know, the financial aspects and the political maneuvering, we can't forget about the human element at the heart of this story.
Okay.
What are the real life consequences
for
these laid off staffers who are now facing an uncertain future?
Yeah, it's a crucial point.
Yeah.
These individuals dedicated their time and skills to a campaign they believed in.
Right.
And now they're suddenly facing unemployment, often without a financial safety net. It can't be easy to navigate that kind of abrupt transition, especially in today's economic climate.
It really highlights the need for political parties to consider the ethical implications of their staffing practices.
For sure.
These are people's lives and livelihoods we're talking about, not just pawns in a political game.
It's a growing concern.
Yeah.
And this situation within the DNC could potentially serve as a catalyst for a larger conversation about worker rights in the political sphere. Perhaps this will prompt, you know, a reevaluation of how campaign staff are treated and compensated and whether existing labor laws adequately address the unique challenges faced by those working in this sector.
So this story isn't just about the money and the politics.
Right.
It's about the people caught in the crosshairs of these larger forces.
Exactly.
It's about the ethical considerations that are often overlooked in the pursuit of political power.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that behind the headlines and the political rhetoric, there are real human stories that deserve to be heard and acknowledged.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
We've seen how two sources with opposing political leanings can frame the same event in vastly different ways, each appealing to their respective audiences.
Absolutely.
We've explored the financial challenges facing the DNC, the controversial staff layoffs, and the union's fight for pay for their members. And we've also touched on the broader implications for worker rights and the state of American politics.
It is a complex issue.
It is.
With no easy answers.
It certainly is, but it's a conversation that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's worth leaving our listeners with a final thought to ponder. We've seen how political parties function, the financial pressures they face, and the ethical gray areas surrounding the treatment of their campaign staff.
It's a tangled web, that's for sure.
It is.
And it makes you wonder, what responsibility do political parties actually have to their employees after an election?
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line between the temporary nature of campaigns and the very real impact these jobs and their loss have on people's lives?
It's a really tough question. On one hand, campaigns are inherently short-term endeavors.
Yeah.
Staff are often brought on with the understanding that their employment is tied to the election cycle.
But then again, these individuals are pouring their heart and soul into these campaigns. Yeah. You know, they're working long hours, often under immense pressure, all for a cause they believe in.
Right.
And their contributions are undeniably crucial to the party's success.
Right. So where do we find the balance? What level of support and security should be considered reasonable? Should there be industry standards for things like severance pay, benefits, or even career transition assistance for campaign staff?
Those are all excellent questions.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just the political realm.
Right.
As we discussed earlier, this ties into the larger conversation about worker rights in the gig economy.
Right.
How do we ensure fairness and protection for those in temporary or contract-based roles,
right,
which are becoming more and more prevalent?
It's a societal issue that's only becoming more relevant.
Absolutely.
And I think this situation within the DNC, while specific to the political landscape, offers a valuable case study.
For sure.
It forces us to confront these questions head on.
It does.
So this story isn't just about the money and the politics.
Right.
It's about the people caught in the crosshairs of these larger forces.
Yeah.
It's about the ethical considerations that are often overlooked in the pursuit of political power.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful reminder. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
We hope this conversation has provided you with a more nuanced understanding of the complexity surrounding campaign finances, staff layoffs, and the ethical considerations that arise in the wake of an election.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, this situation really underscores a deeper issue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The precarious position of campaign staff, essential during the campaign,
but yes,
easily discarded after.
Yeah, it's a pattern we've seen repeat, you know, across both parties. And it raises some questions about the ethical responsibility parties have,
right,
to the people who are powering their campaigns.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And, you know, looking back at the sources, it's fascinating how each one utilizes specific details to shape their narrative. For example, Trending Politics focuses on the DNC spending on what they call flashy podcast sets,
okay,
and a bloated field staff. It almost feels like they're trying to reinforce this certain stereotype of the Democratic Party being out of touch with fiscal reality.
Yeah, and they contrast that with this image of, you know, laid off staffers struggling to make ends meet.
Right.
Creating this very stark us versus them narrative.
Right.
They even include that quote from Fox News's Peter Doocy questioning whether the DNC chair, Tim Walz, will be held accountable.
Right.
It's a very deliberate way of framing the situation.
Yes. Yes, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail, on the other hand, is centering their story on the human impact.
Okay.
They're highlighting the DNC union's statement, describing themselves as heartbroken and furious with the party leadership.
Right.
It definitely evokes a stronger sense of empathy for the workers, you know, caught in this situation.
Yeah. And their emphasis on the union's GoFundMe campaign further reinforces that focus on the immediate needs of these laid off staffers. And by highlighting the social media backlash, specifically, you know, the criticism of the candidate's Hawaiian vacation.
Right.
They're tapping into that public sentiment of disconnect between the political elite,
yeah,
and the everyday struggles of working people.
So it seems like both sources are carefully curating their narratives.
Absolutely.
To resonate with their target audiences.
Uh-huh.
Trending Politics seems to be appealing to those concerned with fiscal responsibility and government spending.
Yeah.
While the Daily Mail is aiming for those who prioritize labor rights and social justice issues.
Absolutely. It's a great example of how information can be framed,
right,
to align with, you know, specific agendas and worldviews.
Right.
And it reminds us that no source is completely objective.
Right.
You know, we always need to be aware of potential biases,
yeah,
and strive for that balanced understanding of complex situations.
It really makes you realize the importance of seeking out multiple perspectives.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to politically charged issues.
Couldn't agree more. By engaging with sources from across the political spectrum, you know, we can gain a more nuanced understanding of these multifaceted issues and avoid falling into echo chambers where only one viewpoint is reinforced.
Exactly. And thinking about the bigger picture here, what can we learn from this situation about the state of the Democratic Party? Is this just an isolated incident, or does it speak to larger issues within the party?
That's a great question, and it's tough to say for sure.
Yeah.
But this situation definitely highlights some internal challenges.
Yeah.
You know, the financial strain, the staff layoffs, the tension with the union.
Right.
These all kind of suggest a need for some serious reflection,
mm-hmm,
and perhaps even some restructuring within the party.
It's almost like a microcosm of the larger divisions we're seeing play out in American politics today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how the Democratic Party navigates this situation could have significant implications for their future.
Right.
They need to find a way to address these internal issues while also projecting unity and a clear vision to the public.
It makes you wonder what the long-term consequences of these types of situations might be for the political landscape as a whole.
Right.
Could this lead to further erosion of trust in political institutions?
It's definitely a possibility. You know, when people see a political party grappling with internal conflicts and, you know, accusations of financial mismanagement, it can kind of reinforce a sense of cynicism and disenfranchisement.
Yeah.
The perception that the system is rigged against the average person can lead to apathy and disengagement,
right,
which is ultimately detrimental to a healthy democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other hand, could this situation potentially be a catalyst for positive change?
It could.
Could it lead to a push for greater transparency and accountability within political parties?
That's certainly a possibility as well.
Could it lead to a push for greater transparency and accountability within political parties?
That's certainly a possibility as well. You know, public pressure and scrutiny can sometimes force institutions to confront their shortcomings and make necessary changes. The increased awareness of the precarious position of campaign staff, for example, could lead to discussions about establishing better protections and ethical guidelines for those working in the political sphere.
So it's a double-edged sword. This situation has the potential to either fuel cynicism or inspire positive change.
Yeah.
It really depends on how the parties involved choose to move forward.
Absolutely. And while we've delved into, you know, the financial aspects and the political maneuvering, we can't forget about the human element at the heart of this story. What are the real life consequences for these laid off staffers who are now facing an uncertain future?
Yeah, it's a crucial point. These individuals dedicated their time and skills to a campaign they believed in, and now they're suddenly facing unemployment, often without a financial safety net. It can't be easy to navigate that kind of abrupt transition, especially in today's economic climate.
It really highlights the need for political parties to consider the ethical implications of their staffing practices. These are people's lives and livelihoods we're talking about, not just pawns in a political game.
Yeah, and this issue extends beyond the realm of politics. It touches on the broader conversation about worker rights, particularly within the gig economy, where temporary and contract-based employment is becoming increasingly common. Campaign staffers, much like gig workers and other industries, often lack the same protections and benefits afforded to those in traditional employment arrangements.
It's a growing concern, and this situation within the DNC could potentially serve as a catalyst for a larger conversation about worker rights in the political sphere. Perhaps this will prompt, you know, a reevaluation of how campaign staff are treated and compensated, and whether existing labor laws adequately address the unique challenges faced by those working in this sector.
So this story isn't just about the money and the politics. It's about the people caught in the crosshairs of these larger forces. It's about the ethical considerations that are often overlooked in the pursuit of political power.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that behind the headlines and the political rhetoric, there are real human stories that deserve to be heard and acknowledged.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've seen how two sources with opposing political leanings can frame the same event in vastly different ways, each appealing to their respective audiences.
Absolutely.
We've explored the financial challenges facing the DNC, the controversial staff layoffs, and the union's fight for severance, pay for their members.
Yep.
And we've also touched on the broader implications for worker rights and the state of American politics. It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
It is a complex issue with no easy answers, but it's definitely something that, you know, deserves more attention and more discussion. You know, it raises questions about the responsibility that political parties have to their staff, and how we can ensure that, you know, the people who are working tirelessly behind the scenes are treated fairly and ethically.
Yeah. It's definitely food for thought for all of us as we move forward and continue to engage with, you know, the political process and these important issues. So we hope you found this deep dive informative and insightful. And as always, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.